Here's what I need you to do. Whatever platform you're listening to this show on, go leave a rating and review of the show. Right now, leave a 5-star rating and review the show. Tell people what you think about it. Tell people the value you're getting. You take care of that business. I'm going to get into this episode, and I'll meet you in the middle. Let's do it.
All right, even if you think they're a complete buffoon, you think they're a complete idiot, assume that this person has a strategy behind their moves and ask yourself this question: why did they do what they did?
Stay all day, dumb.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively, with that aggression, with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game. The Super You, the Mental Handbook, the Mental Workbook, 25 Reasons to Quit Worrying, 25 Conversation Starters, the Overseas Basketball Blueprint, Buy a Game. You either love those books or you would love them if you had read them already. But how would you like, even better, to let me read them to you? How would you like to get the audio version of any of the books that I've mentioned, any book that I've ever put out? You can now. I partnered with Audible to get you a free 30-day trial of Audible, where you can get any one of my books completely for free, and you can keep the book at the end of your trial even if you choose not to stick with Audible. If you choose to stick with Audible, you get a free book every month on top of special prices for any books that you wish to purchase. Get your free Audible 30-day trial membership and your free Dre Baldwin book by going to DreAllDay.com/audible right now. I really enjoy creating and sharing the Work On Your Game podcast, and I really appreciate everyone who's been listening, sharing, and leaving reviews. And if we're going to keep this show going, I'm going to need the support of my listeners. That's why I opened up a Patreon account for everyone who listens to this show to support the show, get some great bonuses for being a supporter, and keep the Work On Your Game podcast coming every single day as it has been all these days since 2016. Go to patreon.com/DreAllDay to learn how you can support the show and get some bonuses for yourself at the same time. That's patreon.com/DreAllDay. I have something free for you. The Super You, my book on unlocking and living with your highest level of confidence. I want to send you a free copy of that book, physical, not digital, not a PDF. All you need to do is go to DreAllDay.com/free, and I'll send you a free copy of The Super You. You take care of the shipping. Again, that's my book on unlocking and living with your highest level of confidence called The Super You. Go to DreAllDay.com/free, and I'll send you a copy of that book. Do it now. Let's get to it. You are now tuned into the show where you learn the discipline to show up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there, even when the success you've expected to achieve is yet to be achieved. And on top of all this, you get a huge dose of personal initiative. That's the go-getter energy that moves you to make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. Putting all this together, you get the mindset, the method, the podcast known as Work On Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. Welcome to the show. Today's topic: I'm going to talk about my favorite game, one of my favorite games of all time. This is a lifelong capable game, unlike basketball, which is a young man or young woman's game. I'm going to talk about the game of chess today. This is a thinking man's game. When I say man, I'm referring to humans, not males. This is a game of the thinking individual, the strategic individual, person who can think long term, person who can play the long game of life. I did a whole episode of this podcast on the long game of life. I'm going to refer to many things here today that I have covered in detail in separate episodes of this show. If you have not bookmarked the full archive of this podcast, it is at DreAllDay.com/podcast. Chess is the ultimate thinking man's game. I'm probably going to say that multiple times through today's episode. And if you plan on becoming a thinking individual, I suggest you learn the game of chess. And through what I'm going to share with you here today, we're going to go through the entire game of chess in today's episode. Even if you have never played chess before, not only everything I say today, but how it relates directly to life and how you can learn it through playing a game of chess. You've heard many people say when they get into, I guess, conflicts or confrontation with another person, people will say something like, well, I'm playing chess, not checkers. You ever heard somebody say that? I'm playing chess, not checkers. Half of them mofos don't even know how to play chess. They're saying it, don't even know how to play. Sit them in front of a chessboard, and they don't even know what they're doing. They can't even name what all the pieces mean. But today, you will understand what those pieces mean. If you have a chessboard in front of you, that would be even better because you can learn the game through everything I'm going to tell you here today. Not necessarily how the pieces move, but you'll learn the strategy behind the game. So let's get right into it because I have a lot of points. How many points I got here today? I got a lot of points to give you here today. This may be a long episode, so buckle up. Point number one. Number one thing that you learn in playing the game of chess is first I'm going to tell you why the game of chess matters and then how everything that goes into the game applies to your life. Number one thing you learn in the game of chess is thinking several steps ahead of your actions. So even though a couple of days ago we talked about being a decision maker who makes decisions quickly and moves quickly, you also can think quickly. Making your decisions, thinking several steps ahead. What is this going to lead to? Not only what is this actually going to lead to the very next thing, but what is that going to lead to? And what is that going to lead to? And what options are coming out of what each action? Because you may take one action that could lead to four different things. Now you're considering each one of those four things and how those could happen. What are the ramifications of those? Who it affects, how they may respond, and what you would do based on their response. So all of these things you have to take into account every time you make a move in a game of chess. This leads us into point number two, is the winners in chess. Always the winners in chess. And those of you who play chess, you can co-sign me or you can check me if I got any of these wrong, how these apply not only to the game of chess, but also the game of life. The winner in the game of chess is the person who is able to see further into the future than their opponent. Now, every one of us is in some form of a competitive field. If you are a student, school is competitive because people are trying to finish higher in their class or get a certain scholarship or maintain their scholarship or get a certain job when you get out of school. If you're in the work world, if money is involved, there's competition involved. Even if you don't know about it, there is competition happening. If you're playing sports, there's competition every day at work. You're in the business world, you're competing for that next promotion or that next raise or the next corner office that becomes open or the next whoever's going to become the boss, whoever's going to be that person in charge. And the person who can see further into the future, thusly base their current actions based on where they're trying to get to in the future, is usually, almost every single time, the person who ends up quote unquote winning. Person who can see further into the future than their opponents. Before we get to the rest of the show, let me ask. You heard people talk about the zone all the time, getting into that state of flow, that state where you're not even thinking about anything. Everything just comes to you naturally and you're doing it at your highest level. We call that being in the zone. How would you like to be able to get in the zone whenever you wanted to, where you could just snap your fingers and tell yourself to get in the zone and it actually happens? How about maintaining your focus and your full highest possible level of confidence at all times so that you can be the leader that you've always envisioned yourself to be? And with all of this stuff I said, how about you can make it all stick forever, guaranteed? And if you're thinking that's all just a pipe dream or it's fantasy and it can't possibly be reality, I want to let you know that up until now it was. Until I created my course called Bulletproof Mindset. Bulletproof Mindset is a 12-module course, the only course of its kind that will help you deal with your challenges of perseverance, getting frustrated with yourself because your results are arriving too slowly, self-belief when you're underperforming, and it's not because you're not good enough because you lack confidence in yourself. What about persistence? Not sticking to your plans long enough to see the results. Maybe it's personal initiative. You're hesitant to make that first move, to pick up a phone, to make a call, to take charge of a group, to approach a person. If those have ever been a challenge for you, Bulletproof Mindset was made to handle that challenge. If you're an up-and-coming athlete, a salesperson, an entrepreneur, a seasoned professional at what you do, if you're building your brand, if you're a business professional looking to grow in your position and move up in your career and in your life, if you're a student looking to deal with time management, dealing with new people, if you fall into any of those categories, Bulletproof Mindset was made for you. Again, 12-module course. You're going to get the 7 golden rules of the Bulletproof Mindset, deal with the 15 common mental errors. You'll get complete understanding of mental conditioning. You'll get my bulletproof strategies for focus, learn to communicate with power, dipping yourself in gold, which is the finishing touch on the Bulletproof Mindset, and lifetime access to all course materials. Again, this is called the Bulletproof Mindset course by yours truly, Dre All Day. Get full information and get started at dreallday.com/bulletproof. That's dreallday.com/bulletproof for the Bulletproof Mindset course. Number three, here's the thing about the game of chess. There's no such thing as a free lunch. That's the one thing that I learned. I took an economics class in the summer of 2002. I stayed at Penn State Altoona and took summer class. I took an economics class, and it was 2 hours, like three times a week. The one thing I remember from that class, because the teacher said this thing several times, is there is no such thing as a free lunch. It is the first rule of economics. And it's the only rule of economics that I know. No such thing as a free lunch. In a game of chess, there are no free lunches. If anything in a game of chess appears to be free, you're playing against an opponent who appears to be giving you a piece, giving away a piece, and they seem to just made a blatant dumb move and just giving a piece away to you for free because it seems like they made a mistake. Beware. Beware. There may be a string attached. There may be a hook attached to that free piece, to that free bait that you've been handed. There may be something attached to that. And life is the exact same thing. There's no such thing as a free lunch. If somebody gives you something for free, there's probably some string attached to that free thing. Don't be so foolish as to believe they're just giving it away. And don't think that you are smarter than them and that they're just an idiot who would give something away free stupidly. Maybe you're the one who's stupid and you're being played. And if you don't think about it, you may end up on that hook. Point number four. And right now, I'm just giving you the reasons why chess is the ultimate thinking man's game. And if you don't know how to play, why you would want to learn how to play, because all of these things you will learn. Point number four is strategy. And today's topic is a discussion of chess and life. A complete plan. When you're playing a game of chess, you need to have a complete plan in your mind mapped out from point A to point Z, because every single move you make has a rhyme and a reason. Nobody else may understand why you're making a certain move, but you understand why you're making that move. And think about your own life. Every move that you make should have a rhyme and a reason. There should be a strategy mapped out. And that strategy does not need to be explained to everybody else. Everybody else does not need to understand your strategy. Everyone else does not need to know why you're doing the things that you're doing, but you need to know why you're doing the things that you're doing. You need to know why you're taking that action. Even if other people are looking at your actions and saying, why the hell are you doing that? You are the one who understands why you're making that move. And in the long run, people will be able to see it and say, oh, now I get it. Now I understand why he was doing that. Now I understand why she did what she did. Now I understand why he passed up on that opportunity over there. Many people are playing checkers in life. What does it mean to play checkers in life? It means you're making your moves. You're deciding your actions based on tactics. What does tactics mean? That means something happens, you respond to it. You react to it. Something happens, you react. Something happens, you react. Something happens, you react. That's the game of checkers, right? Isn't that how checkers works? Somebody makes a move, you make a move. You want to take, they take one of your pieces, you try to take their pieces. They do a double jump, you want to set up a double jump. Everything is reacting to whatever is happening right there in the moment. You are controlled by the circumstance. In a game of chess, somebody may do something, make an offensive move, and your impulse, your instinct may tell you to make an offensive move back to react to it. But because of your overall strategy that is mapped out in your mind, you realize, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't react that way. Maybe I shouldn't do that. How about I play the long game? Let them think that they're winning. Let them think that they're on the offensive. Let them think that they're setting me up and they're ambushing me and they're destroying me. But in the long run, you will be the one who has the last laugh. It's the same thing when you're catching fish, right? You throw the bait out there. The fish is playing checkers. The fish sees bait and it goes to eat it, or at least the dumb fish, the ones who end up becoming your meal. That fish that you ate at the restaurant 2 days ago, the one that became the meal, that's the fish that's playing checkers. All right, they see bait and they go grab it. They're like, damn, who's the dummy that threw this bait out there for free? I just got me a free meal. But it turns out the person with the holding that fishing line is the one who has the last laugh, right? And then on a basic level, somebody may look at that and be like, why are you giving that bait away for free to the fish? Oh, I'm not giving it away for free. It seems like a free lunch for the fish. The fish thinks it's getting a free lunch, but in the end, the fish is the one who becomes the lunch. That is the long-term overall strategy. You are not being controlled by circumstance. You are controlling circumstance. When you know how to play the game of chess in life, then you are controlling circumstance and not being controlled by circumstance. You are not allowing yourself to react to everything. You are not reacting impulsively. You're not reacting emotionally. You are not even reacting instinctively all the time to everything happening. You are listening to your instincts, but doesn't mean you always follow your instincts. Because again, your instincts, I've said this before, your instincts may tell you to slap somebody in the face, but that may not be the best long-term move for you to slap somebody in the face. You understand what I'm saying? Point number five. Now let's get into how the pieces in the game of chess work. Because every one of us in our lives, we become a piece on a chessboard. All of us are playing on a chessboard right now in our lives. Some of you are playing checkers on a chessboard and you're getting your ass kicked in life. I want to pause for a moment to let that point marinate. Some of you, everybody, again, let me say that again. Everybody is playing a game of chess in life right now. But some of you don't even know how to play chess. Therefore, you're playing a game you know how to play, which is checkers. You're reacting to everything. Everything that happens, you're impulsively, emotionally, and instinctively reacting to every single thing that's happening. You're playing checkers, but you don't understand that you're playing a game on a chessboard and you're getting your ass kicked right now. You might not even think you're getting your ass kicked. You might think you're making great moves and doing great things. But the overall big picture, what you can't see the forest because you're only looking at the trees. You're getting your ass kicked right now. You're on the hook right now and don't even realize that you're on the hook because you've been into some bait, not even paying attention. So this is why you need to pay attention to what I'm saying here today. Rewind it to the beginning if you haven't been paying attention and get a chessboard out and get somebody who knows how to play chess to teach you, or get online because there's plenty of places online that will teach you how to play chess so you can learn how to be strategic in your life instead of being reactive and being a checkers player. Checkers players get out quick. And that brings us into point number 5. Today's topic is a discussion of chess and life. The most basic piece in chess, the most oft occurring piece in chess, the one that there are the most of are the piece called the pawns. All right, they're the little bald pieces right on the front lines, right? Everyone knows what a pawn is. You've seen a pawn even if you never played the game of chess. Now, what do we know about a pawn in the game of chess? What do we know about a pawn? When you say somebody's being used as a pawn in life, what are we saying? We're saying that this person has no name, no identity. They have no face. We don't know who they are. Nobody cares who they are. They are used up and disposed of. Now, let's talk a little bit about these pawns. Why do they have no name, no face, no identity? Why do they get used up and disposed of? Number one reason is because they're commodities. There are so many of them, there's nothing unique about them. How many times have we talked about this here on this show? Getting yourself out of being a commodity, making yourself unique, having one thing, one idea that stands out about you to separate you from everybody else so you can never be a pawn. You can never be commoditized. You can never be the person who is just offered something. They say either accept it or get out. They won't negotiate. They won't accept your demands. They'll laugh at your demands because it's ridiculous for you, a commodity, a pawn, to even be demanding anything. How many times have we talked about that here on the show? The pawns are the ones who we could get another one of you anywhere. All right, there are 8 of you right here on the board. All right, there's no other piece in the game of chess that there are more than 2 of them. A pawn, there are 8 of them. All right, those are the commodities. Those are the people at the bottom of the pyramid. We can easily replace you. You quit, we'll get another one. All right, I worked at McDonald's when I was a senior in high school into my freshman year of college. If I had quit that job or when I quit, they went and got somebody else to do the same job I was doing. It didn't matter. It did not slow them down, not one bit. When you're a commodity, if you leave, they'll just replace you with somebody else and the whole machine will keep running as if you were never there in the first place. And before you were there, it was running smooth. And after you leave, it'll be running smooth. That's what happens when you're a commodity. It's easy to plug you in, throw you out, use you up, go get the next one. That's what happens when you're nameless, faceless, and you have no identity. So look at yourself right now. Look at the areas of your life in which you're nameless, faceless, have no identity. People could use you up, throw you out, and it doesn't matter that you were even there in the first place. You're a commodity. You are being used as a pawn. Now, maybe at some points in your life, maybe that's just what you got to do so you can get to the next point. Like I told you, I worked at McDonald's. Okay, I worked there. They used me up. I used them for their whatever they were paying me, $5.25 an hour, whatever I was getting paid when I was a senior in high school. And then I moved on to the next thing. Whatever the next thing was for me, they moved on to the next thing, which was the next person who could come in, put ketchup on the burgers and put a pickle on the cheeseburger and wrap it up and put it inside the heating thing so they could have it ready for the next customer who had bought it. A pawn gets used up quickly. Do not be a pawn in life. Next piece, let's go right to the top of the hierarchy, the king. Now, what does the king do in a game of chess? There's only one king. There's only one of these pieces. And the king moves one space at a time. The king can take their time. The king moves at his leisure. The king is never rushed into action. The king is basically, and the king has all these other pieces working for the king, right? Because in the game of chess, the only way you win is by capturing or trapping the other person's king to the point that the king can't move anymore. The king is in danger and it can no longer move. That's when the game is over. All right, but the king, because it has all these pieces, it has all the pawns, all the pieces to the left of it, all the pieces to the right of it, all of their jobs are to protect the king. In other words, the king is a delegator. I hope y'all are catching the connections with everything that I'm saying here. The king is a delegator, meaning even though it's the most important piece on the board, it's not doing all the work. It has gotten to the point where it has found all of these other pieces to do work for it. It tells them exactly what to do and delegates the work to them so they go do the work while the king calmly observes everything that's going on. The king sees the forest from the trees. The king sees the whole board, whereas the pawns and some of these other pieces can only see what's in front of them. All right, and they're only capable of doing something about what's in front of them. The king is delegating to everyone else. So those of you out there who found yourself doing all the work, you're the only one doing everything. You're working yourself to the bone, literally working yourself to death. You are being a pawn in your own game of chess right now. You're the king and the pawn at the exact same time. You're doing all the work. You got to start delegating your work to somebody else. And delegating does not mean you become lazy and do nothing. It means you see the overall board and you find some pawns who want to be used as pawns. Sometimes people in life want to be used as pawns. That's what it says in the song, right? The Eurythmics say some of them want to be used by you. That's what it is. Some people want to be used, use them. This is not a negative thing. This could be looked at as kind of Machiavellian, but that's what it is. And hopefully everybody's staying with me. I don't want to go over anybody's head here. If you don't know how to play the game of chess, learn how to play the game of chess. Use this episode as a guide for you. The king, again, is never rushed into action. It is a delegator. It is observant. It sees the whole board. Number seven. Today's topic is a discussion of the game of chess and its parallels to the game of life. And it is directly parallel to the game of life. A linear relationship. Number seven. The queen. The queen in the game of chess is the number two ranking piece. But when it comes to action, the queen is number one. The queen is the lieutenant. All right, so the king is the person in charge. The king is the person who signs the checks at your job, but you never meet that person. You see their name signed to the check, but you don't even know who they are. You know what they look like. The queen is the boss, the manager, the person who's there every day running things, telling people what to do. They're the supervisor. They're the person you're looking out for to make sure when you're checking your Instagram, they don't look over your shoulder and see that you're not working. All right, the queen is the number two piece. The queen is the one who gets everything done. The queen is the action-taking individual. The queen has the most power of movement of anybody. The queen almost has just as much power as the king, except the king is actually the one in charge. The queen is doing all the work. They're the person that the king has delegated to the queen, get this done, and the queen is the one who tells everybody exactly what to do. You understand what I'm saying? The queen is the one making all the moves. The queen is the one when things really need to get done, they step in. All right, if any of you ever worked at a job and y'all, the workers weren't getting things done, the pawns weren't really getting things done, and the queen, the lieutenant, saw the things weren't getting done, the manager, they stepped in and said, all right, y'all get out the way. Let me handle this so I can show y'all how this is supposed to get done. And then they trained you a little bit to let you know this is how you do that. This is how you handle that situation next time. In a restaurant, for example, if a waitress or a waiter starts to get behind on their tables, they get in the weeds, as they say. I never even heard of that phrase, but Anna told me, in the weeds. Now what happens? The boss steps in and helps them out with some tables, helps them out bringing some food out, helps them out collecting some checks, helps them out clearing some tables. Okay, next time that happens, do this, do this, do this, so that you don't get in the weeds again. All right, the queen is the one who steps in and gets everything done. And I want you to think about in your life, when have you been in these positions of these pieces? The pawn, the king, now we got the queen. Next piece. We got the bishop, the knights, and the rooks. I'm not going to go over each one of them, but there are two of them each. In a game of chess, or at least on each side, they have restricted movements, but they can get things done. So they're kind of like, they're the middle management of life. So you notice how this is a direct parallel. Again, this is the middle management. These are the people who have some people who they answer to, but they also have some people who answer to them. So they're kind of in the middle. They get some things done. They have some things they can do. They have some things that they can't do. They're kind of in the middle. They're in that middle space. You don't want to be stuck in that middle space for too long. Okay, because you know it's further that you can go. You don't want to drop down to the bottom, but it's a little bit more that you know you could do if you were able to become a queen at some point in your life. Now, in the game of chess, you can't turn from a bishop or a knight or a rook into a queen, but in life, you can. And you can turn into a king. Now, let's move on to point number nine. Now, so far, we talked about why chess is the ultimate thinking person's game. Today's topic, if you're coming in the middle, is a discussion of chess and life and the parallels between the two. Now we're going over all the pieces. Now we want to talk about the strategy of actually playing the game of chess. That's going to be points 9 through 17. There's 17 points here today. This may be one of the longest episodes in the history of the Work on Your Game podcast, at least solo ones. Developing your pieces. When I learned how to play chess, I was at Masterman Middle School, Philadelphia, PA, and my teacher was this guy named Stephen Schutt. And he's like a chess legend maybe in the world of chess. I don't know the world of chess, but at least in the city of Philadelphia. He had taught a lot of schools, teams how to play chess. He had took teams to chess competitions and things that he had done many times over the years. And one of the things that Mr. Schutt taught us was that when you play a game of chess, there's a strategy to how you open up your game. You want to develop your pieces is what he called it. What does that mean to develop your pieces? That means you want to put every piece that you have in a position to where it can actually do something. Put it in position to have maximum effect. What does this mean for you? It means you got to give your skills space to where they can create value. Does anyone listening to this feel like you have some skills that you haven't been able to utilize? Like for whatever reason, you're not in position to actually utilize that skill. You feel like you have great skill in basketball, but you're not on a team to where you can actually show that you can play. You feel like you have some great things you want to say, but you don't have a book that you've written, or you don't have a podcast that you started, or you don't have followers in your audience who will actually listen to what you got to say. So you are restricted in your movements because people don't know about you, and you can't get your skills and your messages and your knowledge out there. Anybody out here ever felt like that? So that's what it means when I say developing your pieces, getting your skills in a position to where they can be utilized to maximum effect so everyone else, the world at large, can get maximum value from it, benefit from it, and in turn, you're going to get benefit in exchange. But you got to develop your pieces. What does that mean? First of all, it means work on your game. Secondly, it means figure out where you need to be and what you need to do to get the most out of the game that you have, the most out of your skills, the most out of your potential, the most out of your ability. Are you doing that? How much time are you spending developing your pieces, quote unquote, in life? Point number 10. Today's topic is a discussion of the parallels between chess and life. Occupy the middle ground. In a game of chess, whoever controls the middle of the board, usually the one who wins the game. Again, if you look at a chessboard, you control the middle of the board. You can see everything that's going on. You have control of that middle space so you can kind of direct the action against your opponent in the game. That's the hub of activity, the middle of things, right? When you're at the center of things, you're running the show. Person in the middle is the person who runs it. Everything that happens has to go through them. They see everything. They see when you're messing up. They see when you're making a mistake. If any of you have ever had a boss who was really on top of everything, it's because they were in the middle of everything. They knew what was going on over there, over here. They knew every section, what was going on, what was supposed to be going on, who was in charge of it, who wasn't doing their job, who needed to be updated, who needed to be fired, who needed to be replaced, what needs to change. They knew everything that was going on. If any of you saw the movie Ocean's 11, Terry Benedict, who was played by, I can't remember that actor's name. I just had his name on the tip of my tongue, but I forgot it. But Terry Benedict was an actor in this movie called Ocean's 11. He ran his own hotel and casino in Las Vegas. And one of the things that he said was, I know everything that's going on in my hotels. I know everybody who's in a casino. I know where everybody's moving. I know how much money the gamblers are making. I know how much money the high rollers are bringing in. I know how much they're losing. I know how much they're winning. I'm paying attention to everything going on in my hotels. He was the hub of activity, was what Terry Benedict was saying in that movie. And I'm going to think of his name in a few minutes. Louis XIV, famous king from yesteryear. I never met Louis. But Louis XIV designed the Palace of Versailles. And I think everyone here has heard of the Palace of Versailles. And one of the things that Louis had in mind when he constructed the Palace of Versailles was that he wanted to create a central hub of activity where everybody who was somebody in his country could come. Everyone who was somebody needed to be where he was. He lived in the Palace of Versailles, and he wanted all the ministers, all the people who had any type of power in government. He wanted everybody living in this palace. So he made this huge palace and told everybody, if you want to be near the center of power, which is me, you need to be living here because you'll be closer to me. Whoever's close to me, I'm going to know you. You'll know me, and you'll have more influence over whatever it is you want to get done. And anyone who wouldn't live in the Palace of Versailles, Louis just ignored them, act like they didn't exist, and he wouldn't do anything for them, and therefore they couldn't get anything done. And Louis would be, as was told, a story that I read, that he would sit in the room and he would watch everybody. He wouldn't be talking much, but he would watch everything that was happening, observe everybody who was moving, watch conversations, listen to how people were talking, pay attention to people's body movements. He was the hub of activity and everything centered around Louis. He was the guy in charge. He was the king, literally the king, watching everything happening. He made himself the hub of activity. He controlled the center of the board. That's what I'm telling you here. Point number 10, occupying the middle ground. Number 11, today's topic is the parallels between chess and life. Every move that you make, every action that you take, every conversation that you have, everything that you post on your social media profile, ask yourself a question. Because in chess, we call this touch a man, move a man. And those of you who know how to play chess, you know exactly what this means. As soon as you touch a piece, you can't change your mind about moving that piece. As soon as you begin the action, you are locked into that action. As soon as you do it, you're stuck with that action. Whatever you did, you're stuck with that action, and you are stuck with the results of that action. Therefore, before you move a piece, before you take action, before you push send on that tweet or on that Instagram post or on that DM, you need to ask yourself this question. Is this move putting me in a better space to play my game? Is this move putting me in a better position, or is it putting me in a worse position? And you need to have an answer to that question before you move the piece. Don't wait till after you move the piece and say, damn, you know what? I shouldn't have did that, because now it's already out there. Now is out there. Now people know about it. Now you're going to have to deal with the consequences of that action. Touch a man, move a man. Before you make a move, ask yourself, is this putting me in a better place or is it putting me in a worse place? I don't think I need to even go any deeper on that one. You understand that fully, do you not? Point number 12. Today's topic is the parallels between chess and life. When a person makes a move, an opponent of yours or a competitor, someone that you're going against, someone whom you're trying to beat out for a certain situation or position, assume that this person has a strategy. All right, even if you think they're a complete buffoon, you think they're a complete idiot, assume that this person has a strategy behind their moves and ask yourself this question: why did they do what they did? Why would they make this move? Why would they take this action? What are they plotting? What are they planning? How is this person scheming right now? Assume that this person is really smart. Assume they're smarter than you. Assume they have a strategy and ask yourself, why would they do what they're doing right now? Do not get arrogant. This is what happens sometimes with us in life. We get so arrogant. We think we're so good. We think we are infallible. We think we cannot be beat. And we assume that we're just too good, too smart, too experienced, just too much better, too talented to possibly get beaten by somebody who's not on our level, because we assume they have no strategy. We assume they have no plan. We assume there's no way that they have enough skill to beat us because we're just too much above them. And that's when we get beat. That's when we end up being the fish on the hook who thought we were getting some free bait. I heard this story of this guy named Drew Joyce. He was the coach of LeBron James's basketball team in high school, or at least their summer league basketball team, AAU basketball team. And it was, I believe it was in one of these documentaries about LeBron, that they were playing in this summer tournament, and LeBron's team was pretty damn talented. They had LeBron James, was pretty damn good, and a couple other D1 players on the team. They had been running through this tournament and beating everybody, and they were about to play in the championship game of a tournament against a team that they had already beaten. They had blown these guys out by like 20, 30 points earlier in the tournament. They're about to play the same team again for the championship. And LeBron and his teammates are lollygagging through warmups. They're like, are we going to blow these guys out? They weren't taking the game seriously. They were just running around as if it was nothing, as if this was the championship was already gift wrapped for them. And their coach, this guy by the name of Drew Joyce, he pulled the team together. He pulled them in a locker room and he said, y'all are about to go out here and get beat. Y'all are lollygagging around like this is not a serious game. Just because y'all beat them before, you think they're going to just come out here and lay down? They're going to have a strategy. They're going to have a plan. And now I'm disappointed. This is before the game, the coach is saying. He said, I'm disappointed right now because y'all about to go out here and lose. And ain't nothing I can say that's going to change your mind about y'all thinking that this team is serious. Y'all about to go out here and get beat. I don't believe this. He said this before the game. And they go out there and play against a team that they had beaten by 30 already, and they lost. Why? Because of this point right here, point number 12. They violated this principle that they assumed that just because they were so much more talented, because they had already beaten these guys, that those guys were just going to lay down and get beaten again. And that's the exact opposite of what happened. They went and lost that game. And after the game, the coach said to them, I told y'all, when y'all show up thinking that just because you have talent or because of your background or because you're getting recruited or whatever it is you think that makes you so much better than anybody else, as soon as you show up thinking that it's all in a bag and it's gift wrapped for you, that's when you get beat. Do not assume that you can beat your opponent just because you have fill in the blank that makes you better than that person. Point number 13. Today's topic is the parallels between chess and real life. Opportunity costs, ladies and gentlemen. What is opportunity cost? Every action you take, the cost of that action is every action you did not take in doing that. For example, right now I'm recording this podcast, meaning I cannot be writing a blog post, meaning I can't be updating my Instagram, meaning I can't be talking on the phone, meaning I can't be walking to the store, meaning I can't be eating lunch, which is what I'm going to do after I finish with this podcast episode. So everything that you do, the opportunity cost is everything else that you're not doing. Therefore, every action that you take, do not only think about what you stand to gain with that action, but also what you risk losing by taking that action. If you move a piece to the left, that means you can't move the piece to the right because you already moved it to the left. If you touch this piece, that means you can't move this other piece because you touched it, now you got to move. If you decide to play basketball, that means you can't play football if they play during the same season. Sometimes you can play both, but you understand what I'm saying. The opportunity cost of every action that you take is every action you are not taking when you do that thing. Point number 14, today's topic, the parallels between chess and life. Finish the job. I told you how you win a game of chess. Those of you who don't know how to play, you only win a game of chess not by leaving the opponent with no pieces but just the king. Even if you do that and you bring the opponent down to having only the king left in the game is not over until you finish the job. You must trap the king to the point that the opponent has no other moves, cannot move, and you have them in danger. Until that happens, you did not win. Even if you got 10 pieces and they only have one, you didn't win until you finish the job. Killer instinct is what we're talking about here. You must complete the job that you started. Otherwise, it does not count. Y'all know what a stalemate is? Those of you who play chess know what it is. But in life, you've heard of a stalemate. What does a stalemate mean? It means nobody won. Neither side was able to complete the task that they set out to complete. That's a tie. All right, now, if you got 10 pieces and an opponent has one and it ends up as a tie, it's almost like they beat you because you were unable to complete the job. So finishing the job that you start. Killer instinct. Complete every task that you begin. Close everything that you open. You got to have that killer instinct to finish every job. Point number 15. Today's topic, the parallels between chess and life. Baiting your opponent. Talked about this a little bit earlier. Now, your opponent may have that issue of arrogance. Arrogance of they're going to believe that they're just so much more talented than you. They're smarter than you. They never heard of you. They're from a place that you're not from. They have some advantage, some resource that they think you don't have, or maybe they really do have it and you don't have it, and they think that's just going to make it easy. Bait your opponent. Use your opponent's arrogance against them. Don't talk them out of being arrogant. Don't tell them, hey, we're ready. We're not going to lay down this game. No, let them believe that it's going to be easy. And they're going to be the one who ends up in the trap. They're going to be the fish who ends up on the hook. This is all about outthinking your opponent. This is not just outworking your opponent. It's not about also always out-talenting or out-resourcing your opponent. Sometimes you just got to outthink them. Use their psychology against them. That's what chess is about sometimes. And in life, when somebody's really playing chess and not playing checkers, that means they're using their opponent's psychology, their opponent's arrogance, their opponent's thinking that this is going to be easy, their opponent's thinking that they know what you're going to do, but you actually know what they're going to do, and you use what they think against them. This is strategy, people. Use your opponent's mindset against them. Get into the mind of the person that you're going against or whomever you're trying to beat, and if you can think the way that they're thinking and understand their thought process, you can predict their moves and use that prediction against them. Point number 16. Today's topic, the parallels between chess and real life, KYP. You know what KYP means? Know your personnel. When I was in college one day, we were practicing. This was at Penn State Altoona. I had a teammate who played the position of center. He had very bad hands. He just could not catch. And one day we're in practice, and we're scrimmaging in practice. He was on my team. And I was throwing pass after pass after pass to this guy, and he kept dropping the damn ball. Every time I passed him the ball, he just wasn't catching. The ball's going through his hands. He's going out of bounds. And these are resulting in turnovers, which technically are turnovers on me because I'm the one who passed him the ball. And during the practice, our assistant coach, this guy named Eugene, he said, Dre, remind me to tell you something after practice. And after practice, I said, oh, yeah, Gene, you told me you were going to tell me something. He said, Dre, know your personnel. How long have we been practicing every day this season, Dre? And I said, well, we've been practicing for several months. We've been practicing since October. He said, okay, are you not aware that this dude can't catch? So why you keep passing him? Why you keep throwing him these hard bullet passes knowing that he can't catch? Why you keep passing him the ball? It's not his fault that he's dropping the passes. It's your fault that since you already know that he can't catch, but you keep passing him the ball. Know your personnel. Everything ain't for everybody, ladies and gentlemen. That's what this means. You must position yourself to best use your skills in their best way. Everybody ain't supposed to be a podcaster. Everybody ain't supposed to be a YouTuber. Everybody's not supposed to be a basketball player. Everybody's not supposed to be a personal brand. Everybody's not supposed to be an influencer, but too many people are trying to fit themselves into somewhere that they don't belong. Know your personnel being your skills. Your unique combination of traits that make you who you are does not have to fit somebody else's unique combination. What are your skills? What are you about? What is your spirit? Where are you best suited to fit in this life? And how much time are you spending trying to get there? I've talked about this many, many times here on this podcast. A lot of people just don't know their own personnel. Personnel, again, not being other people, being you. Do you know your personnel, what you're about, what you're best for? Do not send a pawn to do the job of a bishop. Do not ask yourself to do what you can't do. Don't ask other people to do what they can't do. And don't send a bishop to do a pawn's job. The more someone is positioned to succeed, it will build confidence in them. You want to build confidence, first of all, you got to get some success. Get some success behind your confidence. You got to have confidence before you get success. I talked about that in my TED Talk 2016. Go to dreallday.com/TED. You can see that video. But to build more on that confidence. Go do something that you can be successful at. You can succeed at. You keep trying to do something that you can't do, you're not going to succeed. It's going to be hard to maintain that confidence when that's happening. Point number 17. We got 18 points here. I thought it was 17. Seeing the big picture. In a game of chess, you got to see the whole board, not just the pieces, not just the move that your opponent just made, and not just the move you're about to make. See the entire picture. Instead of walking up and down the street and seeing left and right as a metaphor, instead of looking up and down left and right while you're walking, it's kind of like you're in a helicopter. You can see the whole picture. You can see every street. You can see which direction everybody's going in. You can see where they came from. You can see the direction that their head is looking, which is probably where they're going next. Seeing the entire picture. A good chess player sees not just the move that was just made, or not just the piece that they're going after. They see the whole board. Where is a better move? Where is a better action? Where is this leading? Where is this person's strategy? How can I use it against them? What is my strategy? How can I make it keep working? Point number 18. In conclusion, and everything I said here today, in conclusion, today's topic, again, the parallels between chess and life. When you are able to outthink your opponent, their resources can be neutralized and even used against them. Those who find yourself in a position of going in a confrontation or conflict or competition with somebody, when you can outthink your opponent, regardless of their resources, regardless of their skills, talent, and experience, you can use their resources against them. You can neutralize them or beat them with their own stuff. Do not be intimidated by someone because of who they are or what they have or where they've been or how many people they got with them. Seeing the big picture, your big picture and their big picture, you are able to checkmate an opponent who may be lulled into sleep and not paying attention. Let's recap today's topic, which are the parallels between chess and life. Number one, thinking several steps ahead in your actions. Number two, seeing further ahead than your opponent. Number three, nothing is given away for free. There is no such thing as a free lunch. Number four, strategy, a complete plan from A to Z. Number five, the pieces, the pawn, no name, no face, no identity is a commodity. It gets used up and thrown out. Number six, the king, one space at a time, moves at their leisure, never rushed into action. Calm and observant, the king is the delegator. Number seven, the queen is the number two piece, the lieutenant, gets everything done, the person of action, most power of movement of anyone. Number eight, the bishop, the knight, and the rook, their movements are restricted, but they can get things done. Number nine, developing your pieces. This is the strategy of the game. Give space to your pieces to make things happen. If you feel restricted, your skills may not be in the right place. Number 10, occupy the middle ground. That is the hub of activity. Think Louis XIV with the Palace of Versailles. Influences mean you can reach anyone because you are in the middle of everything. Everybody knows who you are and you know who everyone else is. Number 11, is the move that you are making you better or is it making you worse? Consider that before you take the action. Number 12, when a person makes a move, do not assume that they're a fool. Assume that they have a strategy. Assume that they're smarter than you and ask, why would they do that? Do not get arrogant. Number 13, opportunity costs. With each action you take, you are losing the opportunity to do something else. That is the cost of your movements. Don't think only about what you stand to gain, but also what you risk losing. Number 14, finish the job. The game is not over until you trap the other person's king. If you do not do that, you did not complete the cycle. The game is not over and you do not win. Number 15, baiting your opponent. Lure your opponent into traps. Outthink them. Number 16, know your personnel. Do not put yourself in a position to do something that you can't do. Are you forcing yourself as a square peg into a round hole? Everything is not for everybody. Position yourself to best use your skills in their best possible way. Do not send a pawn to do the job of a bishop. Number 17, see the big picture. Instead of walking up and down the street and seeing left and right, forward and back, you're in a helicopter seeing the whole street and everybody else who's on it. And number 18, the conclusion, when you're able to outthink people, their resources can be neutralized and used against them. Do not be intimidated by those who seem to have a bigger name or more resources or more talent or more experience. When you see the big picture, yours and theirs, you can checkmate your opponent. Work on your game. DreAllDay.com.
I have something free for you. The Super You, my book on unlocking and living with your highest level of confidence. I want to send you a free copy of that book. Physical, not digital, not a PDF. All you need to do is go to DreAllDay.com/free and I'll send you a free copy of The Super You. You take care of the shipping. Again, that's my book on unlocking and living with your highest level of confidence called The Super You. Go to DreAllDay.com/free and I'll send you a copy of that book. Do it now. Let's get to it.
I really enjoy creating and sharing the Work On Your Game podcast, and I really appreciate everyone who's been listening, sharing, and leaving reviews. And if we're going to keep this show going, I'm going to need the support of my listeners. That's why I opened up a Patreon account for everyone who listens to this show to support the show, get some great bonuses for being a supporter, and keep the Work on Your Game podcast coming every single day as it has been all these days since 2016. Go to patreon.com/DreAllDay to learn how you can support the show and get some bonuses for yourself at the same time. That's patreon.com/DreAllDay. I told you I was going to give you tons of value every single day, right? Have I been doing that? I'm assuming that since you're still listening, I have. So please leave a review of the show on iTunes or Stitcher. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite platform and share these episodes. Share them on social media, on your website. Listen, just tell the person next to you to go get the Work on Your Game podcast. That helps this show get seen by more people so we can touch more lives, work on our games, and change lives. I appreciate you appreciating me, and I'll see you on tomorrow's show. Work on your game.